All right, so you ever think about how like one thing you do can end up breaking a bunch of laws at the same time? And what happens when those laws have totally different punishments?
Yeah, that's a really interesting area of the law. We call them overlapping statutes. And that's exactly what this case, United States v. Batchelder from way back in 1979, is all about. This Supreme Court decision is still cited all the time today, and for good reason. It really gets at like the core of how our system tries to balance fairness and what the lawmakers actually intended.
So this Batchelder case, before we go full Supreme Court drama, can you set the scene?
Sure.
It's about guns, right?
You got it.
Okay.
So you've got this guy, Milton Batchelder, and he was a convicted felon, which matters a lot here, right? Because federal law says felons can't have guns.
Right. Makes sense.
But here's the twist. The gun he had, it had crossed state lines. So now he's tripped over not just one, but two federal laws. We're talking 18 USC Section 922, which you could get up to 5 years for. And then there's 18 USC Appendix Section 1202A, which for the same basic thing only has a max of 2 years.
Wait, hold on. Two laws for the same, basically the same action, but with like totally different punishments?
Exactly.
That seems like a mess waiting to happen.
It does, doesn't it?
So which one did they go with? Did they pick the bigger one?
They went for Section 922, the 5 year one. And you might be thinking, well, that's harsh. But here's where it gets really wild. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, they actually sided with Batchelder.
Seriously, they overturned it.
They did.
Why? What was their thinking?
Well, they used this thing called the rule of lenity. Basically, it means if a law is kind of murky, the court should side with what's best for the defendant. They figured this whole overlapping statutes thing was a mess, so Batchelder got the lighter sentence, the 1202A
So
one.
is that it? Case closed.
Not so fast. The government, they weren't happy. They appealed it, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Okay, now we're talking. We've got like prosecutors, competing laws, and the Supreme Court gets involved. This is way more exciting than I thought overlapping statutes could be.
Oh, it gets even better.
What did the Supreme Court say?
This is where things get really interesting and where we start to see the logic behind how prosecutors make these tough choices, and also why sometimes having multiple laws for similar things can actually be a good thing.
All right, so last we left off, the government took this Batchelder case all the way to the Supreme Court. You were saying their decision kind of changed things. So what happened?
Okay, get this. The Supreme Court actually reversed what the Seventh Circuit decided. And it was a unanimous decision, too. They basically said, nope, prosecutors actually have a lot of leeway when deciding what to charge someone with, even if multiple laws fit. And Justice Marshall, who wrote the opinion for the court, he laid out some really clear reasons why.
Unanimous. That's kind of surprising, right? Sounds like they were pretty set on this. What were the main things they said?
Well, first they tackled that whole ambiguity thing. They said the laws themselves are really clear about what's not allowed and what the penalties are. That rule of lenity, the one the Seventh Circuit used, that only comes up when the law itself is fuzzy, not when there are multiple laws that could work.
Okay, so point one for the prosecution. But doesn't that seem like, I don't know, giving prosecutors a ton of power? To just pick and choose which law they want to use. Like, what if they're biased? Or what if it ends up being unfair to some people?
That's a good point, and the court actually addressed that too. They said, yeah, prosecutors do have that power. We call it prosecutorial discretion. And other cases have backed that up too. Like Bornkercher v. Hayes is a good example. It's a super interesting case. You should check it out sometime if you're into this whole plea bargaining thing.
Okay, Bordenkircher, I'll look that one up.
Yeah.
But back to Batchelder. So the court says prosecutors have this discretion. Did they put any limits on it at least?
For sure. They made it very clear that this power can't be used in a discriminatory way. Like, you can't have a policy where you always hit black defendants with the harsher law, but go easier on white defendants. That would be a huge problem, constitutionally speaking, because of equal protection under the law.
Right, it's got to be fair, not just a free-for-all. So prosecutorial discretion exists, but there are boundaries. What was the third big argument from the court?
The third one was all about what Congress intended. They looked at those two overlapping laws and basically said, look, Congress clearly wanted both of these laws to exist. It wasn't a mistake. They felt the lawmakers made two separate laws for a reason, and it wasn't the court's job to question that.
So Congress makes the laws, and prosecutors get to pick which one to use. I'm starting to get how this all fits together. But what about Batchelder and his lawyers? Did they just give up?
Oh no, not at all. They fought back hard. Their argument was this whole thing was unfair, maybe even unconstitutional. They said it violated due process, the right to equal protection, and that it was basically Congress giving away its power to make laws to the executive branch.
That's a pretty serious argument. How did the Supreme Court respond to that?
They addressed each point one by one. On vagueness, they were like, the laws are super clear about what you can and can't do. On due process, they said, you knew about both possible punishments, so it's not unfair. And for that delegation of power argument, they basically said that Congress hadn't given away its authority, it had set the penalties, and prosecutors were just following the law.
So in the end, the Supreme Court sided with the government. But this is all pretty complex legal stuff. Can you break it down for us regular folks? Like, what does Batchelder actually mean for people going through the legal system?
All right, here's where it gets real. Batchelder basically says, prosecutors have a lot of flexibility in choosing what charges to bring, even when there are multiple laws that could work. And this has huge implications, especially for things like drug offenses or white-collar crime, where you often have federal and state laws overlapping. It means the potential punishment you're facing could be totally different depending on which law the prosecutor decides to use.
I see. So it's not just about understanding one law. You got to think about all the possibilities and how they could play out.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest takeaways from this whole case. Whether you're a lawyer getting ready for trial or just someone trying to understand how the legal system works, you have to look at every law that might apply and understand the range of punishments. This is super important for things like plea deals and figuring out a good sentencing strategy. Because like Batchelder shows, those seemingly small differences in how laws are worded can have a massive impact on someone's life.
That's a powerful point. This isn't just some legal theory. It's real life for people going through the system. But gotta ask, is everyone happy with this Batchelder decision? Seems like giving prosecutors that much power could be a problem.
Yeah, it's definitely not without controversy. Some legal experts say this much discretion for prosecutors leads to something called sentencing arbitrage. It's where prosecutors basically shop around for the harshest punishment they can find. Like, imagine a prosecutor having a list of charges and they pick the one with the longest sentence, even though other laws also fit the crime. That's sentencing arbitrage in a nutshell, and critics say it can create unfair and inconsistent outcomes.
That does sound problematic. Is there another side to that? Do people defend this system?
There is. Some people argue that this flexibility is actually a good thing. They say it lets prosecutors prioritize certain types of crimes or tailor the charges to each specific situation. Like, maybe a prosecutor goes with a lighter charge for a first-time offender compared to someone with a long record, even if they technically broke the same law.
So it's a trade-off. More flexibility, but also the potential for things to be inconsistent or even unfair. Sounds like people are still debating where the right balance is.
Exactly. And that brings us to some final thoughts on our deep dive into United States v. Batchelder.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. This United States v. Batchelder case, the Supreme Court's reasoning, and even this whole debate about how much power prosecutors should have. So, like, what's the big takeaway here? Why does this case still matter today?
Well, Batchelder is still super important in our legal system. It's the case that everyone looks to when you've got multiple laws covering the same crime, and it basically gives prosecutors a lot of room to make decisions as long as they aren't being discriminatory. I think this case really highlights just how complicated things can get, you know, especially when you have these overlapping statutes at the federal and state level.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Prosecutors have so much power in these situations. It really makes you realize how important it is to have a good defense attorney who can, you know, push back against those decisions.
Absolutely. Understanding Batchelder is crucial for everyone involved in the justice system. Lawyers, judges, defendants, even jurors. It forces us to ask some tough questions about, you know, what's fair, what's consistent, and what justice really means.
It really seems like Batchelder just throws this spotlight on the possibility of things being unbalanced, you know,
yeah,
in the legal system, I mean. Makes you think about, like, the responsibility that comes with all that power for prosecutors.
Exactly. And that actually leads us to a really important question for everyone listening. Given how much leeway Batchelder gives to prosecutors, what does that mean ethically? Is our system truly just? Or does it need to change? Maybe we need clearer rules for prosecutors or more ways to challenge their choices. This case brings up issues that go way beyond just what happened with Batchelder and his gun charge.
It makes you think about how to balance giving law enforcement the tools they need to do their job while still making sure everyone's rights are protected. It's a tough balance, and Batchelder really shows that.
And that's what's so great about these deep dives. We go beyond just skimming the surface, explore all the little details of these big legal decisions, and hopefully get people thinking critically along the way.
We always say knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
And I think understanding cases like Batchelder really does give us all more power to participate in the legal system in a more informed way. So whether you're a lawyer, a law student, or just someone who cares about justice, remember that every case, every decision, it all has an impact.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of overlapping statutes and prosecutorial power.
And until next time, keep asking those tough questions and stay curious about the law.